This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Free speech, how everybody deserves, it's a right that we have to speak freely in this great country of ours. But if you dare try to limit that free speech, you will be awarded the dubious distinction of a muzzle. And so for more on that, we are proud to welcome from the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression. You should say that five times fast and see where it gets you. Josh Wheeler is with us. And how you doing, man?
I'm well. How are you, Jay?
We're good. It's good to see you. And I remember when Coy told me you were coming, I was like, oh, this will be fun.
All right.
So now there's a couple of things. Give us I've been kind of playing with this afternoon, but straight from you, not to call your horse, but straight from the horse's mouth. Mm-hmm. Why do you and great folks like Bob O'Neill at the center do this? Why do you do it, and what earns people this distinction?
Well, we do it for a couple of reasons. I think one is to challenge the assumption that a lot of people have that, oh, well, because we have a First Amendment in this country, we all have the right to speak out, and we don't have to worry about being censored. Well, in fact, we're censored. People are censored every day across this country, and censored by people who should know better. Mm. Government officials who have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, many of them, and apparently they just neglected to read the First Amendment part of that. So that leads into the second reason why we give it, is to call attention to these folks, to remind them that the Constitution includes the First Amendment right of free speech.
Mm, okay. We're talking with Josh Wheeler from the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression. All right, it's muzzle time. Let's get into a few of these, and then we'll give some folks an opportunity to win something, too, here in just a little bit at 5:11. So you want to go down the list, or do you want to pick some of your favorites?
Well, why don't we pick some of our favorites, because we might not get to them all. And I'll just invite everybody to go to the center's website, tjcenter.org, and you can read all about the muzzles, as well as this year in particular. There's some good visuals that you need to really understand some of these.
All right.
And so any that we don't get to talk about, they can see at the center's website.
All right, let's get started. What's the first one you want to bring to the attention?
Well, I think perhaps the one that would scare the heck out of me the most, if I was if I was the person who was being censored. Imagine if you're active in your community, you're involved in politics, forget whether you're Democrat, Republican, whatever,
right?
But you speak out against one of your elected representatives, and then suddenly you're told that that congressman, a United States congressman, that's who you're speaking out against, writes a letter to the Attorney General of the United States asking him to put you in jail for 5 years.
What are we living in, South Africa or something? I mean, come on. That's absurd.
Alan Grayson is a Democratic congressman from Florida. Mm-hmm. And he has his website, his official website is, his own website is congressmanwithguts.com.
Oh, goodness.
And, well, a Republican activist in Florida decided to create a parody website and to trying to raise funds to fund a campaign to defeat Representative Grayson in the next election. And her website is entitled, rather than Congressman with Guts, her website is mycongressmanisnuts.com. Well, Representative Grayson didn't like that. Now, to be fair, I'm going to present his side of things first. He's claiming two things. He claims in his letter to the Attorney General that she is violating federal election laws in two ways. One, by insinuating that she is a constituent of his when, in fact, she does not live in his congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
Our response to that claim is, you're a United States congressman from the state of Florida. The votes that you take will affect everybody in the United
States.
Look at the health care bill.
Exactly.
Therefore, we're all your constituents. It's only a highly technical definition, and it certainly isn't something that warrants somebody being put to jail, sent to jail for 5 years.
Right.
The second thing, he argues, is that she lied on her form to form a political action committee and said that she supported or opposed more than one candidate. He argues that I'm the only target of this website, and therefore that was a bold-faced lie, and she needs to be thrown in jail for 5 years of that. It's a violation of election law. It's not a violation of free speech. It's a violation of federal election law. Well, again, two things. One, we disagree with his characterization. Yeah, he is the target of her website, but she's basically out to get any Democrat. And she criticizes Obama on President Obama on her website as well. But more than that, it's just a technical box, a little minor thing you check on the form. So even if
it's not worth 5 years in prison,
it's maybe worth a $50 fine if, yeah, in fact, it's found to be violative of the thing, the statute anyway. Mm. So our position is, you know, if the core First Amendment protection is to protect your right to criticize government officials, and if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, to quote the great Harry Truman.
Good grief. I mean, we are always trying to encourage, Corey all the time is trying to encourage people to participate in their government.
Yeah.
So you need to speak out against somebody you don't like. I mean, that's, wow. Okay. So what do we know what has happened since then with this? She didn't go to jail, did she?
No, it's under investigation. The FEC is looking into it, Federal Elections Commission. But we highly doubt that the FEC is going to put her in jail or find anything that she did is violative of election law. And if it is, then we may have to look into helping her defend her case.
But I'm going to go to mycongressmanisnuts.com and check it out. Josh Wheeler from the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression. So, again, the first muzzle you mentioned goes to?
Alan Grayson, Democratic congressman from Florida.
All right. On to the next one, my friend.
All right. The next one is one you really got to go to the website and look at these images to believe it. Mm-hmm. The Alabama Alcoholic Beverage Control.
Uh-oh.
is a class all of itself. Every state has one of these beverage control boards.
ABC.
Yep, exactly. So but Alabama's is the only out of all 50 states that has told a winemaker from California they can't sell their wine in this state because you have a wine label that has an image that is immoral. And if you look at the image, it is an illustrated drawing. It's actually from a 19th century French poster of a nude nymph is the only way to describe this in profile. You can't see anything. It's in profile. The idea is that she's nude, but flying along with a bicycle. And
now, wait a minute. Just let's qualify this. Explain a nymph.
A nymph is sort of a romantic, almost along the lines of what's the Cupid kind of thing. But this is just a young, beautiful woman who's nude but is flying through the air with this bicycle. Because this was originally an ad for bicycles.
It's right.
In profile, you can't see anything. But what's really interesting to show is they turned down the next bottle of wine they wanted to sell, too, because in this one, again, it was a poster of a woman and a bicycle, but she had some clothes on, and it was frontal. But they couldn't tell from the label if they could detect any nudity, so they asked for a enlarged version of the label. And through that, they could detect part of her breast, but only looking at it in an enlarged version. So what they really were offended by is not that the label portrayed nudity, but the idea that the work on which it was based at one point portrayed nudity, and therefore it was immoral. And
what do they do with television down there? I mean, because you can watch HBO and see a whole lot more than that. I mean,
well, it's a good thing that the Alcohol Beverage Control Board of Alabama doesn't control what you get to watch on television down there.
It's wow. Okay. So the AABC,
right.
Alabama Alcohol Beverage Control.
But go to the website and look at these images. And I you know, people have different feelings about nudity and such, but look at these, and I think most people will be hard-pressed to find what's offensive about these particular images.
Is somebody with too much, what's that song, Too Much Time on My Hands?
Yes, exactly.
All right. 18 minutes after 5 o'clock, it's a riveting conversation with Josh Wheeler. Before we take a timeout, let's do this, and we'll do this for when we come back from the break. We got more muzzles to give out. And get, what's the website again, Josh?
TJCenter.org.
All right. News Radio 1070 WINA. I didn't know Coy was such a fan of rap music. I guess he likes the free speech. All right, here we go. 23 minutes after 5 o'clock. JN for my good buddy Coy. He's away on assignment. Josh Wheeler is with us from the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression. We lost Rachel. She was going to give us one of the two muzzles that are lifetime. If you know him at 977-1070, we'll give you lunch for two at Zazu's and also a Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression exclusive edition muzzle t-shirt. But this, only twice has a lifetime muzzle been given out.
That's right. In the 19-year history of the muzzles, only twice has it been given out. It didn't get one this year. So you have to go back and find who received it in the past.
But one is an organization which drives me absolutely bananas. Okay. And that ought to give you a hint. And it's not the NCAA, although it should be. I don't like them either.
Well, we gave them a muzzle too, but
yeah,
not a lifetime.
Yeah. I think they should. Well, here, you gave it to Congressman Grayson. You also gave it to the Alabama Alcohol Beverage Control Board. What's another one that jumps off at
all
you?
All right, a real quick one that people might like, the vanity license plates we see all over the place. This is becoming more and more a problem where states have opened this up to people to give out, to have personalized messages on their plates, and then thinking twice about it, or not thinking twice, but trying to control the messages that people send out. A fellow in Oklahoma, gay man wanted to place on his license plate, "I'm gay." He's very proud of the fact he's gay. He's not hiding anything, and he wanted to put it on his license plate. He was refused. They were told that that was offensive to the general public, which is the only standard that they go by in terms of determining what's offensive or not. It's just completely left to themselves. The Oklahoma,
where is this again? Oklahoma.
This is the Oklahoma Tax Commission, which is the organization that oversees the vanity license plate program.
Okay.
And even though they've released approved license plate that's like straight lover, with eight in there, and straight sexual, and even one that said vibrator with an eight in there, those weren't offensive to the general public. But for somebody to state, "I'm gay," that was apparently offensive to the general public.
Thus, muzzle time.
Thus, muzzle tough.
Yeah.
Muzzle tough to the Oklahoma Tax Commission.
Okay. Let's on to the next one.
Well, there's a alderman in city of Chicago, and an alderman is like a city council member, very powerful politically. There was a mural painted in his district on a wall that somebody, and he ordered the, an artist spent 2 weeks putting this mural up. The next day, came back to look at it, and it was completely painted over. The alderman at first said, "Oh, you have to get a payment. This isn't about any of the message that's on there. This is because you have to get a permit, and you didn't get a permit." Well, it turns out you didn't need to get a permit. The artist was on private property with the permission of the owner.
Oh, no.
And then the alderman, though, we might not give a muzzle. That's bad enough. But then he starts to defend himself and says, "Oh, no, this particular mural posed a threat. It had a threatening message, and therefore I ordered it painted over. I did it before. I'll do it again. I'm proud of my decision." He's unapologetic. But this is very frightening. This is when one person thinks that he has the authority to decide, a government official, to order this kind of arbitrary action based on his own subjective evaluation of a work of art. And imagine, that's pretty scary when he can do this and destroy a work of art in just with making a phone call.
Mm-hmm. So before we run out of time, Josh Wheeler from the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression, what's the most egregious of this list in your opinion?
Well, I think I would have been pretty scared by the congressman writing to the attorney general asking to put me in jail for 5 years. Mm-hmm. But I guess one that really hits home for me, being in a university town, is Southwestern, the administration of Southwestern College in California, where they say that if you want to have any kind of rally, signature drive, protest, anything, it has to take place on this designated free speech patio.
Wow.
On campus. And in fact, one time, I mean, I thought that basically usually at universities, which are designed to encourage intellectual debate and thinking,
you can't do it unless you're on the free speech patio.
You can't do it unless you're on the free speech patio.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're still looking for the two either people or entities that have received lifetime muzzles. If you know one of them, we'll give you lunch for two at Zazu's Fresh Grill in the Townside Shopping Center, and one of these great t-shirts that I'm looking at from the Thomas Jefferson Center for the Protection of Free Expression at 528. Let's go to Gary, who's been waiting patiently on line one. Gary, how are you?
Hey, Jay. Good. Thanks a lot. Great program, Josh. Rudy Giuliani.
There you go, Gary.
It was sometime the end of the 90s somewhere there. Actually, it stunned me because I was a fan of his, and then he did all these things to ban people speaking on the steps of the city hall, and he was bothering taxi drivers about what they were expressing and that kind of thing. So, it sticks in my mind.
Yeah, well, thanks, Gary. Yeah, he actually got New York City in about 16 trials over, got sued 16 times on First Amendment grounds, and he lost 15 of those 16.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that would equal lifetime.
Good job.
Hey, Gary, great guest. Hold on so we can get some information for your prize.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. That's Gary on line one. So, we're going to do this before we take a news break, okay? And again, the website, Josh, where folks can go to get more.
TJCenter.org.
TJCenter.org. We're still looking. There's one other entity that has received a lifetime muzzle.
Should I give a clue?
Well, okay. Let's see. I'll give a clue first, okay? Jane Foy, Rick Daniels, none of us can stand them. They are, we used to call their director, semicolon, just because of his connection to someone else who had that name that was rather famous. So that's kind of a stretch, but it's an acronym of three letters that we just can't deal with. It is not the A. I'm not even going to give you anything else. Okay. So do you know it here in our last minute, the one organization that has received a lifetime muzzle and deservedly so. And it's amazing that they're the organization that has received it because they should be empowering free speech.
Exactly.
Yet they have stifled it, and they deserve, you know, I guess nobody could get to their computer soon enough to, but we won't give it away. Maybe we'll hear from it a little bit later on. Josh Wheeler will archive this at WINA.com, and you've given the website as well. And anything new, big coming up in the pipeline for the center here in the next coming months, events?
Well, actually, yeah, there's going to be a lot of events we've got going. This is actually the 20th anniversary of the Thomas Jefferson Center, 2010.
Wow.
We were founded in 1990 by Bob O'Neill, and this is the 20th anniversary, and we're going to have a bunch of events all year long. We've already had some, and just keep paying attention to your newspaper and WINA's Plug Away Monday, and you'll hear all about these programs as they come up.
All right. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
Thank you, Jay. Good to see you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.